Good morning, everyone. We are in Acts 14, and Paul and Barnabas are on their first missionary journey. And boy, are they going to face opposition and challenges in their journey. Let's take it in. In Iconium, they entered the synagogue of the Jews together and spoke in such a manner that a large number of people believed, both of Jews and of Greeks. That's really awesome. I wish I could know exactly what they said. They had an effective ministry here, and the Lord was with them, as we'll see. They were relying on the Lord, as we'll see in the next verse. In fact, let's read it now. But the Jews who disbelieved stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren, so they have opposition too. But then it says, therefore they spent a long time there speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord, who is testifying to the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. So as time went on, even signs and wonders were done, and people came to believe, but some disbelieved. And they seemed to have some success with the Jews in the synagogue. They spoke in such a manner that a large number of people believed. I wonder if they were pointing to Old Testament prophecies as well that came true in Jesus. You would think that would be an effective technique for those who had ears to hear about how their Old Testament prophecies pointed to him. But there's division too, and let's see some more of that as we go. But the people of the city were divided, and some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. And when an attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to mistreat and to stone them, they became aware of it and fled to the cities of Lycaonia, Lystra, and Derbe, and the surrounding region that's around the region of Galatia. And there they continued to preach the gospel. You know, it's amazing how much opposition these men faced, and we'll see in this chapter and really throughout the book of Acts, and how they kept going. And you know, a lot of times when people are opposed or reject what we have to say, or maybe say they don't want to hear anymore from us, which, you know, has happened to me. I don't know about you, but, you know, there's people who've kind of, you know, either through the grapevine or maybe just directly, they don't want to hear it anymore. And they just don't want you to talk about Jesus, and they don't, you know, they might either just not want to spend time with you, or if they do spend time with you, they just tell you that they really don't want to talk about it, or basically just give you the cold shoulder regarding things of faith. And sometimes, you know, you can kind of feel bad about that, or I do, or you can feel as though, you know, you're doing something wrong. You were not sensitive enough, or you pushed your way in, or whatever the case may be. You feel like somehow you're the bad guy because you have tried to help someone with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think we have to learn to not take that personal. We have to learn to shake the dust off our feet. We have to learn that that person might not have listening ears. That person may not be an open door, and look for another opportunity to speak with someone else that may be more willing to hear and receive and understand and come to faith in Jesus. So we really need to take what these guys did, in fact, in moving on and talking to someone else, and not allow discouragement in one relationship or situation to discourage us from continuing to share elsewhere or with other people. We need to move on. We need to learn how to shake the dust off our feet, not even in a mean-spirited way, but just that's what God would have us do, is speak to someone else. And I think sometimes rejection, or when people aren't interested, we just clam up then, and we're like, oh, well, I don't want to talk to anybody anymore. And praise God, these guys are not an example of that. And they continued. In fact, the fact that sometimes people are going to turn away from what you're sharing about Jesus is actually a sign that you're doing something right. Because if no one's ever turning away from you because of your faith, or what you said, it's likely because you just haven't opened your mouth, because there's going to be rejection. Look at our Savior. They killed him. They put him on a cross. So that's part of the Christian faith, and we need to actually rejoice that we had an opportunity even for someone to turn away from the gospel message. So Don't be discouraged, church. Keep going. The fields are ripe for harvest. Sometimes we just need a new field. At Lystra, a man was sitting who had no strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man was listening to Paul as he spoke, who, when he had fixed his gaze on him and had seen that he had faith to be made well, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet," and he leaped up and began to walk. That's really interesting. I was pondering this morning, that he had the faith to be made well. So Paul somehow discerned he had the faith to be made well. You know, I wonder what that meant. Did he have the faith in Jesus? Because I don't even know if he knew who Jesus was. Maybe he did. Maybe that's what Paul means, is that he had faith that God could heal him. That could be what he means. I think it's also possible, you know, imagine if you're walking by and there's someone who's really struggling in some capacity, whatever it may be. There's some people that want to be changed, that think they can be changed, that have hope that life can change, that want to hear perhaps from you, that want to hear a message. And there are other people that have just resigned themselves to the fact that I am the way that I am. I'm not going to change. It's never going to get better. And I'm not looking for change. And, you know, sometimes if that's us, we may just stay the way that we are because we're not really looking for change. We're not even believing it's possible. And I don't know that this man had a proper understanding about Jesus when, you know, in not being able to walk, but for whatever reason, he was not satisfied. For whatever reason, he wanted to be made well. He had hope for his future. And Paul saw that and said, you know what? I can work with a man like that. So sometimes, you know what? Don't be resigned that things can't get better. Don't be resigned that things can't change. I always have hope that God can do something, because that's part of what allows the Holy Spirit to work in your life, is just a belief that things can change. So hold on to that hope in God that all things are possible through him. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, and this man walking, they raised their voice, saying in the Lyconian language, and this is interesting, and you know, the study Bible helped with this. Likely, Paul had no idea what these people were saying. So they raised their voice in the Lyconian language, and this is what they said in their language: "The gods have become like men, and they have come down to us." And they began calling Barnabas Zeus and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. So, you know, in that day and age, there was a lot of false gods that people believed in, like Zeus and Hermes. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. And at first, you know, Paul and Barnabas, they don't know what's going on or what's being said. But when the apostles Barnabas heard of it, as far as the sacrifices being made from them, they tore their robes and rushed out into the crowd saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of the same nature as you. We're just men." And that's a humble thing and a great thing. And you'll see that, you know, John was like that in the book of Revelation, when people tried to make him to be something he wasn't. They just said, "We're men." You know, Peter called himself a fellow elder, you know, like they make elders at churches, that instead of being like a bishop or a pope, he just called himself a fellow elder. And we should all be humble. We're just men and women, praise God, who now have God living in us, those of us who have believed in him, but we're still just regular people that God has changed. Hallelujah. "We are also men of the same nature as you, and preach the gospel to you so that you should turn from these vain things." Well, that was bold. He said, turn from these vain things like Zeus and Hermes, and turn to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. Now, it's interesting what he says next. Likely, these people don't have a historical context of the Jewish Bible, of the Old Testament. So his witness to them isn't really based on that. Listen to what he says. "In the generations gone by, he permitted all the nations to go their own ways. And yet he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good and gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. I think they probably attributed gods, other gods, to doing these things. And what Paul is saying is the one true God does these things. Even saying these things with difficulty, they restrain the crowds from offering sacrifices to them. So they definitely didn't want sacrifices to be made on their behalf. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, places they had been before, and having won over the crowds, you know, kind of a crowd mentality now, getting, you know, against Paul. And they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. You know, a stoning is no joke. You know, most people do die, very easy to die, and they assumed he was dead. I can't imagine that, being stoned. But while the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered the city. And that's a remarkable statement. And it's like he went back in, but there's not much discussion about that. It almost confuses me, because can you imagine just being stoned and entering? But the next day, he went away with Barnabas. Maybe they were able to bring him into the city, and he had to rest, I'm sure, you know, like in a house or something. So that way, you know, the crowds may not have known what was going on. The next day, he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. The next day, he got up and left. I can't imagine how sore he was. After they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, so they spent some time in Derbe. Then they returned to Lystra. This is the city that he was just in, getting persecuted, and Iconium and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And sure enough, they went through so much challenge and difficulty in proclaiming the kingdom. When they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So that's one of the things Paul and Titus did, is not Titus here, but it's talked about in another part of the Bible, where, you know, in cities they would appoint elders to help govern the church when they were away. I often think about that. Imagine appointing an elder, and I wonder what level of training they gave those elders. I'm sure they gave them some in this day and age, but imagine being an elder and running a church that you've just been newly appointed to run in this day, and they don't even have the New Testament word yet. You know, there's possibly some fragments of the Gospels going around by now. There's obviously verbal testimony about Jesus, but there's not written testimony. You know, definitely the New Testament's not compiled, and most of it's not even written at this point. And here these elders are trying to run the church. I would imagine it had great challenge. I'm so thankful for the Word of God, and that we have the canon, that we have the Bible, that now we can turn to it for guidance and truth. It really helps us to know who Jesus is and what he wants us to believe. And I'm glad that you're going through this journey in the Word of God. We have an incredible advantage today of having the Word, and we can even look it up in its original languages and context and everything else. And that really helps us in following Jesus. But praise God for these men who led without it at that time. They passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. When they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there they sailed to Antioch, from which they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had accomplished. So this is their first missionary journey. You know, they've come full circle. They left Antioch, went on this journey through Galatia, and now have come back to Antioch and explained to them, you know, what they had done and what they had experienced. And I'm sure that sending church there in Antioch enjoyed hearing about the challenges and the journey and the successes of Paul and Barnabas on their journey. When they arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all the things that God had done with them and how he opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. What a great reunion they must be having in Antioch. And they spent a long time with the disciples. And, you know, that was a sending church. You know, we just had a missionary in from our church that we, you know, helped support. And, you know, it's great to hear about what ministry is taking place all over the world. And praise God for the strength of this church in Antioch and sending out Barnabas and Paul, providing for their needs. And now they're getting to hear a report about what God has done. May we be, you know, sending churches. May we be a home base, a place of strength for Paul and Barnabas. And what a blessing it would have been to have them come and now spend time with that church. Well, today I think what I would love for us to take away is that we need to be willing to face rejection and not be discouraged, and realize that's part and parcel to being a Christian and sharing our faith, that there's going to be times people aren't interested, and we need to generously just shake the dust off our feet and see who we can share with next. That is really important. That's what the book of Acts is about, is freely speaking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, even if we face persecution for it. May we continue to be strong in him. God bless you all.